So what's on your guys' mind today? What can I help you with?
Well, Tyler had some good news today. He picked up the phone and Connie called, and this is someone that Kim has kept in touch with. She's been through different CFO roles. This is her, I guess, second company that she's been with since she was with a client of ours. So USA Football is going to bring over about $9 million, which is good news.
Wow.
We bid on that. It was an RFP. It was a competitive bid. And is that right, Tyler, around $9 million? What they'll bring over?
Yeah, you saw it's like $9.5 or so.
Yeah, so that was a good win. And that, I think we met with him in November. I'm getting a little bit concerned. We haven't heard back from him, and Kim just diligently kept following up. Kim's in Lafayette, by the way, right now. So she's in Lafayette today. They cultivated that for a long time, and Tyler and Kim really worked on the proposal probably for a month and a half, calling in the proposal, making sure we'd be as competitive and diligent as we could. And it was interesting that we actually went in more conservative than the other advisors.
Mm-hmm.
Lower allocation, and they kind of questioned us on that, but we thought that was in line because a lot of what we're managing for is corporate reserve. It's not a long-term endowment. It's their actual short-term corporate cash that they should be keeping. So we went more conservative and ended up getting it. So that was great. That was some good news.
Well, and probably the markets didn't hurt you. Scaring them a little bit with volatility will make them go conservative, so that's great.
Right, yeah, timing. I guess, yeah, timing was good on that. And then we've had a couple, and this is the specific case. I think Tyler has some things on business development and marketing to talk about and ask about. But there's a person I'm meeting with Wednesday, and I met with him last summer. And this has happened to us twice lately that we've touched base with people who really don't have a need. It's just that they know a client that said they need to meet with us. So they don't really have a huge need or a huge problem. The other one we decided not to pursue. It wasn't really above our minimum, and they were already working with a Merrill advisor. So the other one we didn't pursue. But this one's about a $15 million. He owned a car wash business and sold it. And it's all investments as far as and what he has, the $15 million, is with Nall.
What's his name? Can you tell me his name?
Mark Carroll.
Okay, yeah.
Carl.
Not my old neighbor.
Yeah, he lives in Zionsville, I believe. So really,
okay.
Smart guy. And so I'm meeting, I've been chasing him down. I met with him last summer. But what he mentioned on Wednesday, he said, really, I don't have any problems. He's working with the managing director. He has quarterly meetings with him. He's around 40 basis points on fees. He is about 60% in fixed income. But it's a great opportunity. It's $15 million. And I don't think he's necessarily in love with his current advisor. He just doesn't see any problems.
Yeah.
So how do we find that pain point? Or what do we go in with as far as a proposal when someone really doesn't have a perceived problem at this point? Their current advisor.
Remember, in order to be a prospect, they have to, I always, there has to be an affiliation, right? I like them, they like me, I trust them, they trust me, I listen to them, they listen to me, and they have the ability, and they have a sense of urgency.
Yeah.
No urgency, no prospect.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's not a prospect. He's a guy you can keep in touch with and wait for this. I mean, it's like when I used to prospect financial advisors, I'd prospect guys like you, and you'd be all set. I mean, you were not a prospect, but you were somebody I kept in touch with because when you did have a problem, I wanted to be there. So you have to wait for them to screw up.
Hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a meeting with him?
Yes. Yeah, we're having lunch Wednesday.
My suggestion is have the best, most fun you can have.
Just have fun. Going back to the life trust and listen.
Yeah. Just, I mean, you got nothing. Unless he brings up something, you have nothing. I mean, you're selling against air. You know, you don't have a, you have nothing to go on. He's happy. He likes everything. So you have no prospect. So, you know, I wouldn't have taken the meeting, but you, here's a good one. Get an introduction from it.
To another person that he has may be able to use our services.
Right. You're happy. You know, who is, you know, do you know someone that isn't happy?
Mm-hmm.
That would value what we do. Well, tell me what you do. Well, this is what we do. You might sell him on you by just marketing yourself to somebody else. You know,
right.
He needs to sell you. The idea is that we can only, you know, you're not going to go in and buy a new car unless you need one, right?
Right.
I mean, you might see something.
Yeah.
When you go to a car, you know, you go to a car show, you might create a sense of urgency. You might see something you love and you decide to become a buyer. But
that's what I suppose.
Right. 12-4-2 is better than quarterly, but unless he, I mean, you just had one of the biggest scares in the world in the market. And if he didn't create some sense of urgency from that, then there's not much coming that's going to move or shake him.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, he's hit the bottom already. So he was, I think he was down 2% last year overall. Not bad.
Yeah. Just because somebody has money doesn't mean that they're a prospect. It means that they're a suspect. Until they declare a problem. Now, keep in mind, I moved from BMWs to Mercedes. And it was because I had, when I went to Sarasota, I had terrible service. You know, the service I got in Indianapolis was great. So if I'd never left Indy, I'd still be a BMW guy.
Yeah.
But because the service stunk, I moved. So now we're a Mercedes then. But no, you know, the only sense that you can do is to, have fun, enjoy him, and see if there's anything comes up during the meeting that, where he's unhappy.
Got it.
And, if not, ask for an introduction to somebody else that he might know that isn't happy. I guarantee he's got somebody that he knows.
Yeah. Yeah, he's an interesting guy. But that's interesting that we had two of these people that said, well, you really don't have a problem. It's just that your client told me to call you because they love working with you. And that's how he is, that he's one of our clients that we're really close to. Was a good friend of his father's. And recommended he speak with us and work with us. And that was my thought. There's not really a whole lot to go on at this point. If he is happy,
well,
at the quarterly reviews, that I'm going to do my best. I'm going to show him something. I'm not going to.
Right.
He asked me to call him in the meeting. And I think he may be, he was in a pretty sales intensive industry. That's a very competitive industry. So I think he may want to be sold, is the impression I got from him, that he was kind of throwing that at me just as a challenge in a way. But, and that was my thought. If he wasn't interested, then he wouldn't be taking time to meet with me. He's not in town that often. Travel.
Okay, so
we're going to get right,
so, you know, in order to sell, you don't talk, right?
Listen.
Yeah, you gotta find out. Okay, so I'm curious. You took this meeting. Why did why are we meeting today? Well, my friend really wanted us to meet. Okay, so why do you think your friend wanted us to meet? What was it about, you know, that he saw that in us that made, you know, made him so convinced? What did he say?
Mm-hmm. And that's the call I'm going to make this afternoon as well, is to our contact representative and get his input as well.
Yeah. It's an interesting situation, really is. It's a nice thing. It's a riot. Your client must have been really persistent.
Yeah, he has. He tells me when he's going to have dinner with the guy. And he says, I'm going to have dinner with him. I'm going to tell him I need to meet with you guys because I think he's not getting the same level of care and service that he should be getting.
Well, he must hear from the guy that he's not getting it.
Yeah, it was. I think it was the contact. He mentioned that he's doing quarterly meetings now. But there was a point last year where they didn't return his call. I do know that. So they haven't been as attentive and as responsive as I know we are. It's a one-hour reply, 24-hour resolution.
Well, that's a big deal. I mean, it sounds like your friend is following up on a situation that he heard some pain, and now he's just persistent. Remember what we talked about with immunization, right? The reason, interesting that they're getting you service now, right? And they weren't before. Is that because that's part of their mantra, or is that because they're afraid of losing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the truth, right? They're afraid of losing, and otherwise they take their clients pretty much for granted, which is really a good hunting ground then. Because you know that if there's one, that you got them all. They're all the same. So they call them when they feel like it or at best quarterly. Interesting. Okay, so the plot thickens a little there. That's a little different than... Then he has no reason. He has zero reason for moving.
Yeah, that's what he's doing today.
Yeah, he was getting out.
But for whatever reason, he didn't set the meeting.
Right, exactly. So I would, you know, I would try and ask about that. Do you think there'll be a time when they'll go back to their normal no service model?
Right. Yeah.
When do you become an important client to them, do you think?
Yeah, probably when he complained and they got an impression that he was going to move his account or that he was talking to someone else.
And I wouldn't denigrate the other firm at all. You know, you just focus on what you do and why your clients are happy. This is why our clients seem to be so very happy.
Yeah, that's a 12-4-2.
All right, so here's another thing that you can put into your mix, Trent, that I think is, you know, what we talked about was multi-generational planning, full implementation of the planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 of you, 2 of them in person, and rapid response to your problems, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. Now, here's my suggestion to you guys, and the only reason I suggest this is because I think it applies to me also. There is no system for updating financial plans. And I think if you had that, that would also could be part of your mantra. And I think that would be different from what other people are doing.
So that would be in anticipation of our call, someone on the team would check with you and update your numbers? Or what is the ultimate model of how that would happen?
Well, here's what I would suggest, okay?
Yeah.
I would suggest that you do a financial plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, and you, the monthly calls are updates to the financial plan and implementing the financial plan. That's how you execute the implementation of it. Then you get, you know, theoretically, you get the financial plan done, but guess what? You never step into the same river twice, right?
Right.
So the plan...
Never, never the same man. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
The, you know, it's 12 years later, and has the client situation changed?
Mm-hmm.
Of course it has, right?
Yeah. It changes in the plan.
Right, so the plan we did and implemented is fully implemented, and we keep in touch with the client, but have we redone the plan based on the fact that the client is now 72 instead of 60?
Yeah. And it really comes to the fore now when we haven't updated the allocations. If we have someone in a heavier asset allocation than they should be. In 2 years ago, they got the asset allocation they should have had 10 years ago, and not the one they should have had today.
Well, it's just, you know, for you and I and everybody else, I mean, if you think of me as the same client, and I think of you as the same, but neither one of us are the same people.
Right.
You know? Yeah, I mean, you get to be 72, you got medical issues, you got all kinds of stuff that are going on that are different than what you had when you were 60. So
right.
The plan we did when I was 60 is a different plan. So how often should you update the plan? I mean, do a completely new plan. That's a question I have. No. No, I don't think so. I don't think you can keep. You couldn't keep up with that. You couldn't do it.
In a system, it's more of updating the numbers and adding and deleting. So that's what we've been doing so far. Just trying to update it once a year. You think just capacity wise, that's too often? What do you think the ultimate model?
I think you should issue a new book every 3 years.
And make that an exhaustive update. Start from the ground up.
I mean, how it's like you said, you can do it by punching some numbers in, right?
Yeah.
But I think it's the conversation that accompanies it that is kind of a new, fresh look, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know, maybe it should be 5 years, right? But
right. It
should be some time when we look at a new book, we look at a new plan,
mm-hmm.
we look at all the estate planning again.
That is a good idea. We do it as part of the process just when we're talking to people. But it is not scientific. It's not on a schedule. It's more haphazard.
And guess what? The good news is no one else is.
No one else is doing even that here.
Well, nobody's doing that, but nobody is redoing their plan on a regular schedule that I know.
Yeah,
but I know about it. Anybody else in your office doing that?
No. No, most advisors just get it in the system to show they've got one, to click the box for management. No one lives it, breathes it like we do.
Right. And then,
you know, it's kind of like... Every year, at least. But it's a lot of the old information, to your point. So it's rehashing the old information, updating for today's values. It's not a new plan that we're generating every year at this point.
Right. So, and you guys do a cash flow analysis for me. I have no complaints. I just don't know that, that I don't have the sense that there is a new plan in the system. And if we get another plan, would there be anything that we hadn't thought about?
Yeah.
That's kind of, you know, new net worth statement, new everything, right? I haven't seen that. So that's just me, but if it's me, right, then that's everybody.
Yeah, right. Well, you get a higher level, you definitely, if you're not getting it, then
no one's getting it to that extent. We do the COVID agenda for you, I think, with the cash flow. But it is a great idea to make it a process to work through all the
clients. Well, that's what I mean. If you can you put into your contact system recurring every 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just annual or quarterly or weekly or something like that? Can you make it every 3 years?
Annual. Yeah, we can do an annual recurring, and is it how it happened once every 3 years? I know we can do it through Outlook. Can we do it through Salesforce, Tyler?
Yeah. You know, that's a good question. I would think so. I don't see why we couldn't, Nathan. Yeah.
I know in Outlook we can. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah.
We'll figure out the logistics.
So anyway, I don't know what the number is. You know, at a certain age, you have a colonoscopy, and they say don't come back for 5 years. You know, it's fine. But then you got to remember it's every 5 years, right?
Right.
And I'm sure a financial plan is no more fun than doing a colonoscopy, but it's necessary.
I just turned 50. You're hitting close to home.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead, Rob.
The idea is that this guy wants to know why you're different, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, 1242 is becoming commonplace now. Rapid response, still pretty unique. People don't give pretty good service now. Financial planning, yeah, that's great, but what makes you unique about financial planning? Well, not only do we follow up on the plan and fully implement it, but every 3 years we do a completely new plan for you.
I like it. What if that's
5 years? 5 years sounds too long to me.
Yeah. Every 1 year doesn't sound realistic or thorough.
But it's just not enough change. Not enough change. But every 3 years, we do a completely different plan. You know, and you can also do what you just talked about, Trent, is saying, okay, Rob, you know, you're now 63, you're now 66, you're now... You know, now you're 72, okay? It's a little different right now. I know you feel the same, but we have to think a little differently from a fiduciary point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to recommend this. You can do what you want, but this is what we recommend. So you're always being the thoughtful, conservative, caring about them more than they care about themselves.
Yeah, the physician.
Right. The other piece is this, and I've talked about this before, but I wanted to remind you, is that no one is ever spending the right amount of money.
Hmm.
Right?
Too much or too little.
Too much or too little, right? And so that is important. And that would be a perfect example to use on this guy. You say, so what's the big deal about the financial plan? Well, you know, no one is ever spending the right amount of money. But what does that mean? They're either spending too much or too little. And so we kind of like barometric pressure, we just tell you where you are. And if we get in the red zone, we're going to let you know. But most of the time, and this is a good example, because, you know, when we were in the Navy, we had to learn weather. And first thing you learn in weather is what is a normal day? What's a normal barometric pressure? What is this? What's the starting point? Kind of what's zero? Well, 29.92 is a normal day in weather forecasting. So from there, it's either high or low. So yeah. What is a, you know, at 4% based on, you know, 5,200,000 is your number. So you're either above that or you're below that.
Yeah. And we've encountered quite a few clients that aren't spending enough money.
And that's where you introduce, right, that's where you introduce your concierge travel agent.
Yeah.
And you have a meeting with them. So you can't just introduce concierge travel agent. You got to actually take the person to a meeting with them and have lunch and talk about what's available and what could they be doing.
Yeah. Do you think there's value in us being lifers at the firm, that kind of stability to a prospect like that? That we've spent our entire careers at the same company, or is that
yes
really
no.
as much of a positive?
Not today, as much as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
They only care that they have you. The firms are pretty interchangeable these days. You know that there's value in it. I mean, I had a guy go to Jeffries or somebody, or he said, oh, the technology is horrible.
Didn't find that out until you got there.
Right. So, you know, there's no advantage to being at another firm. The advantage is that you don't waste time moving between firms. That's a horrible waste of energy and time. But in order to stay fresh, you know, you periodically need to clean the closets, right?
Right.
Clean out the attic and clean the closets as if you're going to move. So that's the value in that, in staying fresh and skinny and ready to go.
Yeah.
Because you get lethargic. And but I think the, you know, the complete updated plan is something that would be enlightening for you guys. Because, look, the reality is you assume you know everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you do, with me, I think. But, you know, is there something we haven't thought about? Have we done everything? I can't remember, you know.
Right.
Have we done all the wills and trusts and retirement and, you know, have we done I don't know, every single thing that we should have done? I can't. I mean, I think we have, but it's, you know.
It's like a garden. We've got to constantly be weeding the garden, constantly be looking at things, new opportunities arise.
Right.
Take
right.
care.
Right. So
it gives me some good ammunition for the guy anyway. So the whole idea of multi-generational planning, implementation of the plan through 12 scheduled meetings and then rapid response. 1 hour reply,
right.
24 hour resolution. And that's what the phenomenal scores we have. Kim and I both got noticed last week that we're on the Forbes list again, so that's nice.
That's really nice.
And then the CPWA, we may send out a letter. I passed the Chartered Private Wealth Advisory Certificate early December. Well, that was good.
Well, and this would be a good, you know, that would be a good, you know, that's great, Trent, but what does that mean to me? Well, what that means to you, you know, what does that mean to you, Mr. Client, is that we're formally going to be doing updates on financial plans every 3 years.
Yeah, as you said, you always want to bring it back to why. What does that matter to the client? Why does it matter to me?
Right. What does it matter to me that you've been at the same firm the whole time? It's got to have a benefit to me, right?
Yeah.
So totally. Right.
That's been the major thing for us, is just the stability of platform. We're not moving. We're not focused on clients, focused on client care rather than trying to move a bunch of accounts or learn a new process and a new system. That's helped us, I think, hang on to quite a few accounts as other advisors have left as well. Is us being here the whole time and knowing that we're not going to move.
Well, and one of the things from an internal marketing point of view for Tyler and for you is to acquire new teams. You know, buy them up to the retirement business. That's not a bad business. You know, do one of those every 5 years as people retire. And your multi-generational team, so Tyler could inherit that. At some point, you're going to be retiring. But if you keep the multi-generational team thing, the stability of the whole process is very valuable.
Oh, absolutely. So yeah, she's been brought on. I may have mentioned Brooke Fitch started with us. She's a finance grad. Just came out of Indiana, Wesleyan, and just began working. She's in the relationship management role right now as far as scheduling meeting prep events. But we could see her growing into other positions and doing more for the team, possibly being a planner down the road. And then Samantha's going to come on board. So at that point, we'll have three people in her 20s on the team. That's, I think, a competitive advantage these days as well.
Well, and that can be, you know, you can, and what does that mean for me as a client? It means that we can afford now to do plans every 3 years. We have the staff to do it.
Right. And, yeah, the big benefit for our clients is it was 170 households with 2 advisors. Now it's 3 advisors, and it's going to be 4 advisors. We're not going to add that many more accounts, so we're going to be below that 50 threshold where we've been wanting to get there for years. The old Goldman Sachs model, having 50 maximum, 50 households max. It was interesting. I had a great breakfast last week with a center of influence and accountants who was referred by a client. And it's interesting that him, he's a managing partner of an accounting firm, and they all have 50 accounts.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's really rare. That's very rare. Oh, that's impossible. They usually have 200 minimum.
Yeah, they do a lot of nonprofit work, so I think it's more intensive.
Big account. They must have big accounts.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good, see now one of the things that when you're prospecting for centers of influence, Trent, part of the game is identifying what their specialty is, what's their minimum, what is their focus. And when you get somebody like that and they fit with yours, that's a great center of influence.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, they do a lot of the same nonprofits. We know a lot of the same people. So we're bringing them on as a client. We're starting to do monthly calls, quarterly meetings. We set them up on all the research emails, the updates. We're going to give them a client test drive.
Well, that's great. That's great. Terrific.
Yeah, so we have some good momentum on a few fronts. That does give some good ideas for Mark Wednesday, though, even with him downplaying it. So go in asking questions. Why did you agree to meet today? Why did Tom recommend so highly that you meet with us? Talk about our team to the extent possible.
Yeah, why do you think Tom recommended that we meet? What do you think?
Yeah. And I think he's an interesting guy that would sit well. He's a lot like many of our clients already. I think I know a lot of things.
Tyler, bring us up to date. What have you heard? What questions do you have? What's generating in that creative brain of yours?
No, I mean, I think that's great. I mean, and that's a question I've used in meetings as well. You know, sometimes you'll go to a meeting and people just kind of be lockjawed and just being, I mean, I've just been honest with people, like, look, I'm here for your time, you know, why did you agree to a meeting other than me calling you out of the blue? Like, just, you know, you don't accept a meeting with every single person that calls you.
Right.
So same thing with him, you know, I'm sure he's got a busy schedule. I think that's a great idea. I think there's something subliminal, whether he realizes it or not, that is a pain for him, you know.
That's right.
I don't know what that is, but I mean, I think you're spot on, Trent and Rob. I mean, I think there's an opportunity there. It's just, you know, you're going to have to kind of try to uncover the pain point. And that's really what I've been focusing on with prospecting too, is there's got to be a pain point for somebody to move. And the pain point has to be greater than the inconvenience of moving.
That's exactly right. Perfect.
And so, I don't know. I'll have to brainstorm on that a little bit, Trent, just because it's a little bit different. You know, I think some of the question would be, what do they do outside of just the investments? You know, if, for somebody with $15 million, did they meet with his estate planner?
Right.
And do they, I don't know, I forget what company they're with, do they have the trust capabilities that we have? You know, truly being able to do every piece of the pie, the credit cards, the banking, you know, that's...
And ask him, I mean, I don't know if you have time to do it, but ask him if he wouldn't mind bringing along his financial plan.
Good call. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I've done, Trent, is, you know, before anybody's a client, I tell them, you know, before you would ever become a client or even entertain it, you know, we put together a plan for you so you kind of have an idea of our scope and exactly what you're getting into. You know, we don't want you jumping off the diving board and not knowing if there's water in the pool or not. And so that gives you a chance to really be a differentiator so you get to see everything the other advisor's doing.
Right. Yeah.
Well, how about when he says, I don't have a financial plan?
Right.
Which I would bet you, I'll bet you $100 right now he doesn't have one.
Mm-hmm. What's his family life like, Trent?
He is divorced and not very close to his family and kids.
So what's the purpose of his wealth?
That is a really good question. He's not inclined. That's a good question. Because I did find out in the meeting last time that he's divorced and his kids are kind of off the reservation, not doing that great. He doesn't want to give a bunch of money to them. But I don't know that he has an extensive estate plan that will lock them into an incentive structure. And he's not philanthropic. So
is he a big golfer? Is he a big golfer?
No, he's a hunter. Hunter and sportsman. So he's always flying around shooting moose and bear, all kinds of animals all over the world.
Okay, so that's his obsession.
Yeah.
A lot of times they will give money to, you know, to organizations that protect the environment, protect the hunting areas and things like that.
Yeah. Right. Ducks Unlimited is a big one.
Yeah. That's the kind of thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those are all good questions.
That's why I asked about if he was a golfer, you know, if he was a, because it sounded to me like he's one of those man that's obsessed with something other than family and, you know, frankly, the things that are important. It's either golf or hunting or something like that.
Yeah, you got some kind of distraction to spend all your time on and get the sense of accomplishment.
Yeah, it somehow makes you feel like you've had a life, but it's not as rewarding as the other one.
So I think what it comes down to, and I'm just kind of spitballing an idea here, you know, maybe you find out his income that he needs in retirement is $200,000. You know, on a $15 million portfolio, maybe he's just so far off base on an allocation, you know, 60% fixed income. Maybe that's crazy wrong. You know, if he can deal with some of the volatility and just know that that income's not going anywhere, maybe that's the approach. If he doesn't know what he doesn't know.
Right.
You know, if we can say, look, this income's coming in no matter what, but, you know, you can create a really lasting impact on whatever community or whatever, you know, philanthropy that you want to benefit if we make these changes. You know, here's your benefit. Long term, this is what your current portfolio would return. You know, if we make some shifts, it's going to be a little bit more long, but this is...
Tyler, my guess is this guy is not a giver, okay?
Yeah. I mean, we just got to figure out what he wants to do. You know, it's got to go somewhere. I don't think he wants to go to government.
So I know, but it's, you know, it doesn't sound like she's a... you know, we talked about givers, takers, and masters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a giver would really listen to that story of yours. A taker, not so much. Doesn't really care about the damn charity. And just wants the money for himself. And he's going to spend it and have a good time and kill a bunch of animals. And that's about, you know, it's not an in-depth life. It's a sadder life, and it's harder to penetrate that.
And I think it's hard for the three of us to relate to.
Yeah. I mean, that's where I would struggle. That's where I would try to find direction. You know, Mark, if you pass away today, where would you want your money to go? How would it get there?
And he would probably say, I really wouldn't give a shit.
Right. We'll see.
Yeah.
You know, that could be the answer. Or he could be in a lot of pain, you know, but you're going to have trouble. There's not going to be one meeting that gets through that to that pain. I mean, he may be in a lot of pain with his kids and feeling guilty and horrible that they're a mess and he's divorced so he screwed around on his wife. And, you know, so he could be a really suffering, you know, underneath. But that's probably not going to come out in that first meeting. So
in this kind of scenario with this type of prospect, this is going to be a multi-meeting. I think my goal for Wednesday will be to establish a stronger relationship, learn more about them, try to identify some pain points and start working on an exhaustive financial plan for them that helps them identify these things.
But again, Trent, if he doesn't care where the money goes, he's not going to care about the financial plan. So I would keep a low expectation of this meeting, okay? Just for you. I mean, you know, just because, you know, you don't want to get yourself all involved in a case where the guy's going to end up not being your kind of client.
Right.
You know, he may not be a good guy. You know, he may be not a good guy.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, so that's where you got to listen and make up your mind. Remember, it's I like him and he likes me. You know, that's kind of where it starts. If you don't like the guy because he's a taker and he's made bad decisions and he's just got lucky on his business, then it's not a business, really, if it's it, you know?
Right.
And you're going to spend a whole 10 years trying to convince him to do the right thing and he's going to never say yes because he just doesn't want to listen.
Right. Yeah, we did, we had lunch, I guess, back in June. And we had fun. We did enjoy, I could tell he had a good time. We did connect on some level. And I had pretty much written it off because we hadn't met since then. But Tom's the one that encouraged us to get back together. Reset his contact and see where it goes.
Well, Tom may care about him more than he cares about himself.
Right, that's true.
You know, so just, you know, Tom's a good friend of his and wants to take care of him, and this guy just, you know, doesn't care. You know, I don't know.
Well,
I've just known enough. Tyler, you've known a bunch of those guys, right? We all have. They're just, you know. It's all they care about is ball.
Right, yeah. Tyler's much more in the trenches as far as prospecting. We're so much more in clients. Interaction and client service that you definitely need to sharpen the saw on this. It's a good exercise for me to go through. Whether it's so much or not, this is a good experience to keep that prospecting muscle strong.
Yeah. I mean, it's always a puzzle. I think that everybody, the first thing you got to figure out is just what's the pain point. I mean, that's where you start, you know. And it might take four meetings before you find that out, but it's just a puzzle. Once you find that out, I mean, the job gets a lot easier to keep poking it until make change.
Right?
Right.
These are definitely good ideas. Go in listening and then talk about what we do. Try to establish some kind of need, some kind of reason to stand such and establish further contact.
Tyler, any cases that you're working on or anything that you need help on?
Yeah, I mean, I had a really good December, actually. I was kind of fortunate. I had a number of people reach back out to me that had previously said no, that I proposed on in the past year, that basically said, you know, what you talked about made a lot of sense, and you know, we made a mistake. We need to make a move. So I'm hoping to bring on between 5 and 10 new clients in the first quarter.
Right.
Which would be, I mean, that'd be a really good first quarter. So,
you
know, how
many that you have already signed?
I've got, we have 4 signs that are in transition.
Great. So was it the volatility that made it think about you more, or?
I mean, I think part of it, I've started in the past year or two a couple of different things. So even after they said no, you know, I sent them a handwritten note basically just saying, look, I appreciate you letting me know. You know, I really enjoyed meeting your family. Hopefully our paths cross down the line. And then usually I'll say, you know, I think what we talked about and some of the solutions are still very timely. I would encourage you to discuss those with the advisor you chose, because I think they can still benefit your family. You know, just basically showing them that it was more than a sale, you know. And so once what they're doing goes sideways, you know, I'm kind of top of the list. Mm-hmm. And I think doing it in a handwritten note, it leaves a little bit of an impact. And so anytime I see big market movements, I'd send them a little piece, you know, hey, hope everything's going well, but, you know, thought this might be timely. Even if they said no, you know, maybe once every 6 months or something. And so they actually reached out to me, which was really nice.
Yeah.
So, but my concern...
That's great.
My concern...
Yeah, you're showing yourself to be a giver is the nice thing about that, when you're sending an email that says, even if you don't do it with me, do these things.
Yeah.
You've done a lot of goodwill that way.
Yeah. But my concern, Rob, is looking out, you know, a few years down the line, you know, we're supposed to bring in, Merrill has a goal for our team to bring in 18 households this year. And so...
Points. If we bring in larger households, they count for more points.
Yep. And so, you know, I think that's doable, but looking out 2-3 years down the line, I mean, you're talking 54 households in 3 years. You know, I start to wonder, you know, we've got, obviously me, I have some capacity, and then with Sam and, you know, just more team members, we grow capacity, but at some point we're going to have to start kind of siphoning off those bottom relationships. And so how would you kind of approach, I just want to get a jump on it so that we're not, you know, all of a sudden bombarded, but you know, how would you do that? Because there are obviously people that we want to help. You know, how do you do that and make sure they still get the attention that they deserve?
Well, you can do it, you know, it's the same story I give to people when we start with Supernova, right? It's exactly the same. So you got a choice. You either hire another person or you hand them off to a trusted associate that's not part of your group.
How do you make that transition, I guess? Because, you know, a lot of people, they enjoy working
hand off.
Yeah, how do you make that? Because it's just difficult, I guess. You know, people get so set and enjoy working with you, and they build that trust.
It's the same thing you do. You simply use the exact same speech that when we started, which was, you know, the good news is that we have been blessed by our community and have a number of folks have entrusted us with their futures. The bad news is that we are concerned that we are not able to keep up the level of service that we've been able to do in the past. So we hired a consultant. He came in and looked at our practice and determined that we could maintain the level of service, but we had too many relationships. And therefore, we had to make some decisions. And so, here's what we're doing. Now, if you've never introduced 12-4-2 to him, that's when that's part of the speech. He recommended that we do multi-generational planning. And full implementation of that planning process through 12 scheduled appointments.
four reviews, two of them in person, and then rapid response to your problems, 1 hour response, 24 hour resolution. We're also updating our plan every 3 years. We can only do that to approximately 70 clients each. Because of that, we've raised our minimum. Our minimum fee now is $20,000, and you're paying $5,000. And we don't think that's fair to charge you $20,000. So what I've done is I've taken the initiative to set up an appointment with a professional that I really respect tremendously. Been in the business for over 10 years. Wonderful person. And with your permission, I want to make an introduction to him. If you're not satisfied with that, I will find you someone else. And then the conversation begins. You know, they say, so you're firing me.
Mm-hmm.
Say, no, I'm just not charging you an exorbitant fee is what I'm doing. And I don't think that's fair. Do you? No, I don't think that's fair. So we're going to find someone that will give you the same level of service, 1242, rapid response, reply. Everything will be exactly the same. They follow a very conservative model. I know you're going to be very pleased with them, and you'll pay the same fees they're paying now. And they'll say, okay, I'm sorry. That's just, you know, it's the only way. There's only two ways. You either hire another person to take care of them, or you reassign them to somebody else. There is no other way. Or you don't grow.
Yeah. And that's if you're
go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, if you're working so hard that you have zero time to grow, then you're paying a price. You know, and nobody wants, your clients don't want you to pay a price of no growth. That wouldn't be fair, right?
Okay. I like it. And I'm just trying to plan ahead. I mean, I know we're a few years out, but just trying to make sure we're square.
Well,
applied in now, though, that because we're having the same, with Kim and I turning some of the quarterly calls and monthly calls over to Tyler, the clients still want to call. They still want to talk to us. And there's one client, I mean, Dr. Barley, I've been trying to turn over to Tyler, and he actually rescheduled his call to talk to me instead of Tyler. So I, and Ken and I, being Hoosiers, were really nice. We usually don't go to the client, just make them do it. But how do we have a little more strong line? Well, I guess you've given me a pretty good script here. The good news is we're growing. The concern is it's hard to provide the thing, the high level of service and care.
And Trent, there's nothing wrong with you and Tyler being on a call together once a year.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make sure everything's going okay.
Yeah. And I think, especially in the times of volatility, Tyler does a great job. He's giving them great advice. He's telling them much of the same that we would tell them. Just have it. That people just don't want to feel like they're being handed off, I guess. And the familiarity, the stability.
They also don't want to be charged. They don't want to be charged anymore. Okay?
Mm.
And you tell them that, you know, I'm sorry your fees are now $10,000 in order to, you know, continue our relationship. I'd have to charge you $15,000 or $20,000, and I don't think that's fair. And I don't think he'll think it's fair either.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's the way that when it comes down to it, they're like, whoa, I love you, but I don't love you for $20,000.
Right. This is a little simpler. A little easier decision for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I think it's important to emphasize, too, that Trent's still going to be managing the investments. You know, it's not, it's just more of a relationship, a conversation, the phone call kind of change.
Yeah, Kim and I we've got to get a script because we revert back. We're too nice. So we're too, like, okay, they want to talk to us, that's fine. We'll keep talking to them. But this is our business. This is our livelihood. And it's just a decision that we've made that we're going to do across the practice, just to be fair to our top clients, we need to do this. We'll build a structure
right.
out of this.
And
that's a really good
Trent, you know, you can always say, you know, look, the reality is I'm not going to always be here. So we have to have a contingent plan on this business. Just like a law firm. We have multiple, you know, more than one lawyer. And you know, this is what I specialize in more complicated cases. Ones that take a lot more time. And Tyler handles the ones that are fairly, you know, are reasonably simple. And yours, frankly, is, you know, a doctor that's retired is taking minimum distributions, and that's about it, right? Manage the money and take the distribution. You know, they're under the estate planning rules, and so it's not a lie. It's true.
Right.
So, you know, you're a surgeon that...
Intensive planning with two families last year that led to major estate plan changes driven by us.
Right. And so that's the other description of your team. You know, we're specializing. Trent and Tim are working on much more complicated, much larger cases that are taking enormous amounts of time, so they had to bring on a team to support the rest of it. And so that's what we're doing. We, you know, he'll understand that. He was a doctor.
Good. Thanks for asking that, Tyler.
Yeah.
It's going to help us put our language on the handouts here short term.
Okay, guys.
Several times, though, Tyler has helped our team tremendously. It's exactly what we needed last year.
Yeah.
He's helping us a lot
so,
with research, with client contact, with market outlook.
Tyler's been a very bright future.
You know,
you were terrific with me, Tyler, when I had a couple of interactions with you in the middle of the war here, and you did great. So,
well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, you were terrific. Very calm and
very
easy. Details and
that gold position working out for you. You made it easy.
Yeah. Anyway, think about it, guys. We're at month 9, so we've used up, it's been a year, which is pretty crazy. It's up to you how you want to do it. We could continue a monthly call. You know, that's one price. We could do every other week. That's another price. I don't think we need to go back through the 12, you know, the 12 weekly calls. I think a monthly would be great by me. But why don't you guys talk it over and decide how best to utilize me. And just come back to me with something that makes sense.
Sure.
For you guys. And then we'll customize it for you and price it accordingly. Okay?
Great. Thank you, Rob.
All right. All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.